Obviously, I'm pleased that we've entered a new era of taxpayer protection in Indiana. It's an historic win for taxpayers, and no more will taxpayers be asked to adjust their tax bills to government's appetite. Government will now begin to need to adjust its spending to what taxpayers can reasonably afford. It was another great demonstration of what can happen through bipartisan cooperation, and I cannot say enough in terms of thanks to all those, the leaders in both houses, the Speaker, the Senate leader, the key chairman in both the House and Senate. There were disagreements and debates and lots of compromises, but the cooperation was very, very civil. Always, each person clearly had the public interest, as they saw it, uppermost in mind. Lastly, I'll just say that not only are we entering a new era of taxpayer protection, but this ushers in a new era of reform in Indiana. Under the caps, the growth of future spending will be slower and more moderate than in the past, and business as usual will need to begin to change. And that's a great thing for service and for taxpayers, and I look forward to working closely with local leaders all over the state in bringing greater efficiency and 21st century government to Indiana.
Governor, I count four different ways that units can get around the caps. Is this going to be the formal belief that you asked for at the start of the session?
I don't know what you're counting, but the there's no question that this will be among the this will be permanent relief, permanent protection for taxpayers of a kind that we can only find one state in America that matches. So I think it has some reasonable flexibility, and there's some transition mechanisms, so we don't try to go all the way to the new era in 1 year. But because of this bill, Indiana will be in the lowest 10 states in America for property taxes and with the best protection, along with Alabama, that we can find anywhere for future taxpayers.
Governor, a lot of the homeowners in the area of the state that I cover actually were at the 1%, and especially will be at the 1% now. Do you think it's fair to say that their protection or that their tax relief is permanent, or will their bills continue to go up, and could they actually exceed what they were just last year?
If you're below 1%, you're going to get a tax cut. If you're below 1% now, you're going to be further below it, significantly further, and because of this bill. And the spending limitations, which are principally the work of Senator Kenley that are in this bill, are the protection against future growth of spending faster than income, which has been the pattern, as you know, in the past. So the caps are there as a permanent protection, a fairness mechanism that says that nowhere in Indiana, at no time in the future, will it ever get higher than that. But if you're under the caps today, I'm happy for you, and you'll be further under them come May.
A couple months ago, after you testified in Ways and Means, you acknowledged that Lake County may need some sort of special treatment, ended up being for Lake and for St. Joe. Mm-hmm. I've gotten some calls and emails from some of the legislators there that they feel like the rug was pulled out from under them, that they won't get a 1% cap until 2020 now. Is that a fair assessment, or do you think that the plan fairly balances the needs of government versus the needs of taxpayers?
I think it was reasonably balanced, this particular compromise. If you don't believe there's major taxpayer relief for the taxpayers of those two counties, just listen to the complaints of the spending units. I think that this particular initiative, request, demand, what have you, from the other side was a reasonable way while delivering major relief, to recognize the reality that these areas have been spending at such a level and taxing at such a level that you just can't get to the new era as quickly. But there will be major and fundamental changes in business as usual. There'll have to be in those counties or counties that were close to that. And I I just think that this particular compromise was as reasonable an effort as we could have made.
When will you move on and help the current Shepherd report? Will you start on that immediately, trying to get that enacted next year?
I certainly plan to embrace that report, speak to it. I hope to excite our fellow citizens about the new era of reform that report points towards. Some elements of it are in this bill, and others will flow from this bill as units adapt to a new era of taxpayer protection and to slower growth of their spending going forward. They will now, I believe, naturally start to look at consolidation of services and so forth. So some of the Kern and Shepherd is in this bill. Some will happen as a direct result of this bill. And then I hope next year, in the same bipartisan way, we can join hands and work on the rest.
One of the groups that are concerned about, of course, are schools. I wonder what you can say to assure them that the funding will be there next year, even in the event of an economic downturn for Indiana that continues beyond what we've already seen. And then secondly, I wonder if you're concerned that IPS, for instance, loses $10 million in 2010. That's all going to have to come out of capital projects and transportation. Is there going to be any other things down the road that we're going to be needing to do so that we can still build schools with air conditioning, still put in the technology, and not have dead school buses around our streets?
Somebody killed a school bus? Well, first of all, careful with the numbers. Even this afternoon, we've seen the final numbers on the reassessment, which is going to provide more help than we had originally thought, even before you get to property tax relief. Secondly, schools and education come at the top of the priority list in Indiana. Your state taxes are already paying for 85% of school operations, and when they're paying for the all of it, I'm sure that it'll still be certainly for me, the top priority, regardless of budget circumstances. And don't overlook the generous and, I think, well-conceived compromises in this bill. Transition funding for schools, more money for the school rainy day fund, a special protection that we have now. So I'm quite confident that, as in the past, Indiana will do better by its schools than most states. If you haven't noticed, education funding is being slashed in many states of this country right now, and it has happened in past downturns, but not here.
Governor, you mentioned spending limitations a few times, but I thought that it moved away from sort of what you wanted in that area. Other than the referendum, how are we moving spending?
Yes. Well, it is not the mechanism I recommended, which was one spending limit for all the units in a given county, but there is a substantial tightening of controls on the levies. The spending of property taxes in this bill, and another good example is that the many non-elected boards that can tax property right now will now have to take their budgets to the county council. So there are a number of new protections. And again, this is an important answer to a previous question. This is one reason that there's no need for tax rates to creep back up past where they were pre-relief.
Several legislators, including the Speaker, say they're still not completely sold on the constitutional amendment. How confident are you that that actually does go to the voters?
Well, you have a three-step process because we want to be careful and deliberate about our Constitution. I believe it's fundamental that these reforms be placed beyond the reach of future politicians and beyond the reach of some judge to overturn them. So I'll be arguing for a second vote like the one we had today. And beyond that, I'll certainly be voting if I get the chance as a citizen for when it comes to referendum.
When you first started, when you first proposed this back in the fall, in State of State, I think you were very deliberative in terms of characterizing local governments, schools, basically anybody but property owners as special interests and as spenders. Do you think that characterization was important in terms of determining what the priority was here?
more important than anything I said was what taxpayers said. This is their victory. And I'm very grateful to the taxpayers who wrote, called, attended meetings, came down here at their own expense. Really, that's how this got done. The folks who advocate for the 2,600 spending units of the state were here every day, and most of them got paid for it. But it's average citizens and their voices, many of whom came from Southeast Indiana, who I believe balanced off the debate and carried the day.
When you first proposed your plan, I know you didn't expect it to remain 100% intact. So how does this measure up with maybe what you thought the final product would be?
I never knew what to expect, but I would just say that this measures up, I think, very, very well. I said consistently there were four things we were trying to do. This honors all four of our goals. It meets completely the heart of the plan, which is permanent protection through the caps. And as I always forecast, it includes, I think, a lot of not just reasonable compromises, but some real improvements, things that I didn't think of and couldn't have. And that's what a good process ought to produce. And I just want to underscore over and over how bipartisan this was. And I'll bet you hear this from others too, but for a subject this big and this complicated, and where passions run high on both sides, I think the legislators conducted themselves in an exemplary fashion. Not to mention, they got their job done on time.
How is the permanence, how do you measure the success of that? A lot of Democrats said that there would be a lot of tinkering next year. If they do change a lot of things next year, is the permanence, is that negated, or how do you measure the success of the permanence?
Well, it depends what gets tinkered with. But if the caps do become not simply long-term, but constitutional, that's the fundamental change. It's something we've never done before, and only as far as I can tell, a state or two out there can match. And it has so much importance, not only to protect property owners with an absolute ceiling, but in terms of business investment and the certainty. Over and over in recent days, I have heard people say how attractive it would be to know, if you're going to invest and bring new jobs to a place, that there was a protective lid on your property taxes. And then finally, the effect, the long-term and permanent effect in disciplining the growth of local spending, as we just discussed. So I think if the tinkering doesn't extend to that or the real fundamentals, listen, there is no perfect in this business, and I don't doubt that there will be need to make adjustments at some point down the line. But the heart of what's occurred here is truly historic, and if not undone, will bring true permanence.
When do you expect to decide it?
As soon as it's ready, and I know that this takes a few days, and we want that work done well. You know, there have been cases in the past where there were typos or missteps, and I know folks of the staffs around here have worked so incredibly hard. I wish I could go shake hands right now with every one of them. I'm going to try. But I know there's some people in that have a huge job ahead of them simply to get the bill ready for signature. I'm thinking middle of next week they're telling me it'd probably be ready about then.
I noticed that if you look at the state averages, this isn't the case, but if you look at the county, the numbers county, bills go way down this year.
Uh-huh.
In many counties, they go back up, in some cases by a double-digit percentage, and then maybe go up a little bit or go down a little bit again. Do you expect that after this plan is fully implemented, that will level off? Or
Let's be clear. They're going to go down so far this year that although some may bump up next year, by virtue of the compromise, we didn't get the 1% cap in place next year. But the bills, any such bill will still be less than it was in 07. And then as the caps come into place, there'll be continuing reductions for anybody who was above them. So there's no way to look at this that it's not a significant tax cut. All you have to remember is that we are picking up hundreds of millions of dollars that have been on the property tax payer and bringing them to the state to manage here. And every dollar of that is a reduction in property taxes, and that goes on in perpetuity.
With regard to business, I know when you first introduced the plan, there was a lot of resistance, a lot of talk about the inequality and the caps. It seems like maybe some of that subsided, but there's still, I know folks would say, you know, the inequality issue may hurt attraction, but I know there's the flip side you point to with, you know, the low property taxes. Overall, is this a system tracking business?
The reason you've heard so much less of that as we've gone along is that people took the time to think about it a little and actually read the bill or the proposal. And although our principal goal here was to protect homeowners in their property, this is going to be another very positive improvement in the Indiana business climate. We were just rated, if you missed it, in CEO Magazine, the best place in America to do business outside the Sun Belt. We were number 8 in America. The only one anywhere in north of the southern tier. And this is going to enhance that status. Not only will we have lower property taxes than most places, but the certainty, once again, of the caps is of enormous value to business. I heard it out here at the Medco groundbreaking from 3 or 4 people. I heard it from a young investor in the gym 2 days ago. This is something I think business is seeing more and more. So is 3 higher than 2 higher than 1? Yes, but the 1% is so much lower than most of America that so too is 3 if a business is even at that number.
Do you think, the sales tax in it, is this the last time you ever expect as governor to be asking people of Indiana to increase the tax?
Is this the plan? Well, of course, this may be my last General Assembly be asking for anything. But yeah, that'd be my, I would say if I am rehired, it is certainly my goal always to reduce taxes anywhere and everywhere that that we can. And so that's my intention.
So you can't imagine then raising another tax?
Well, we were cutting taxes here. By our last estimate, this will deliver, when the caps are in place, $1.72 for each dollar of new sales tax. So this is a major net tax cut, not quite as big as the original proposal, but big. And that was always one of my hopes and goals in running for office in the first place. I always had it in my mind we would balance the budget, then we would pay the debts, then we would restore some surplus, and then we would cut taxes. And as it's turned out, that's been the sequence of events.
Now that this process is over, how much does this passage assist you in your campaign for re-election?
I have no idea. It's a win for taxpayers, and that's all I can tell you about it.
Senator Kinley said he made was an offer, $15 million a year. The South Shore, if the region comes up with $15 million via tax or some other method, $175 million total. Is that your offer, and does that offer, if so, does that offer stand in the next session?
No, it was, this was a legislative matter, and I'm not sure, honestly, if Senator Kinley could have sold even that to his colleagues. Because, once again, we want to make sure Indiana stays in balance at the state level, and it's just a tough time. But I thought it was certainly very reasonable. It's a good project, I'd like to see it happen. But it probably was never realistic. I don't think you could have gotten many votes outside Northwest Indiana for a direct appropriation of the entire amount, which is what they seem to think was the only approach. And his half and half, some self-help and a matching, I thought was pretty reasonable. I'm not even sure he could have gotten 51% for that, but apparently even that wasn't satisfactory.
Were you listening or watching the votes on your computer, and you called legislative leaders?
Well, I've spoken to the speaker, and earlier this morning to the Senate leadership, but since the vote, just to the Speaker. No, I don't listen and I don't watch. I don't know if it's superstition or... I was a little edgy and the staff sent me to the gym. I think that was probably the best move we made all day.
What did you say to the Speaker?
Well, I thanked him, first of all, for the way he approached it. I congratulated him on what I believe is a great bipartisan accomplishment. I told him I knew it wasn't easy, that he had, as Brian Bosma had, as David Long had, as Richard Young had, division within his own caucus that he had to work on, and that I just appreciated his efforts very, very much and the way he went about it.
Governor, of the 1,008 township assessors, most will be going away. 44 of them will not, at least not absent a referendum. Are you disappointed by that fact?
I still think 92 is the right answer, and maybe that's where we'll get. As I understand the last draft, there will be referenda votes, and most of the taxpayers I talk to don't understand why we have so many as we do and don't like the idea that you might have one assessment on your house if you live on this side of a line and a completely different answer if you live across a township boundary. So I'm going to vote aye. And when I get the chance, and maybe a majority will in those 44 places.
If they don't, if some townships choose to keep their assessor, will you not make any further attempts to eliminate those positions, or do you feel so strongly that you'd be willing to try to override their decision?
Then you'd be into the Kern and Shepherd recommendations, which we'll be dealing with next year, as we discussed. I think they made a very strong case for this.
That mean yes. You would be willing to push for that even if the voters decided to keep their attention?
Well, let's see. Let the voters speak first, and maybe a moot point. Well, I know you've all worked hard, too, through all this, so I suppose somebody should thank you. Thank you.